And turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, or filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, we have seen thus far in the book that Job has responded rightly to these trials. His friends come to him and they sit in silence before him 7 days. And while we are not told what the reasoning is, what is going on in Job's mind and why he has gone from not charging God foolishly nor sinning against him, and now that he has gone to sinning against him, we're not told what it is that has made the break. But let's conjecture for a few moments, and maybe it's a combination of these things. First, his wife has been of literally no service to him in his trials. She has told him to curse God and to die. Secondly, his own body is falling apart before his eyes. He has lost everything that a man can lose except his life. He has been taken to the very brink of death, to the brink of the loss, or to the very loss of everything that he had. He has, what, 4 servants left and no means wherewith to maintain them. He has lost all of his cattle. He has lost all of his sons. He has lost his health and now sits in ashes and in the dust of death although he has not died. And thirdly, he has had three friends come to him. So we have the extension of that trial, that Job has been in this condition now for some days. His friends have sat before him now 7 days and were not told how long he had sat before they came. So the trial is beginning to wear on him. So number one, he has a wife that has been of no service to him. Number two, the trial has begun to wear on him because of its duration. Remember that trials, when they come, generally speaking, we can see an end to the trial. Job can see no such end. And so the trial is augmented. It is made the more severe. And then third, his three friends come to him and sit before him 7 days in silence without a word to say. Not one word of encouragement. Not one word of help. Not one word of comfort. They are astonished. They are literally in the old King James version of that word, they are astonied. They are made like stones before him. They have nothing to say to him. So perhaps in combination of these three factors, Job falls from his prior integrity. And when he falls from his prior integrity, let us remember first of all that Job is not in falling from his prior integrity. He is not falling from grace in that he is not a man who is not a gracious man. In other words, in the old sense of that word, he is a believer. He is a regenerate man. He is one who trusts in God. But he is in, well, I like what Durham says here, he is in a fit. He is in a fever. He is in a particular point of weakness where he is crying out. He is saying things that he would not normally say. Now, we'll see Job say some very godly things later on. And we'll see him say some other ungodly things, both. And the Lord will, in chapter 40, bring up these accusations against Job for his correction and sanctification. So, basically, three sins in which Job indulges himself here. He finds fault with God's government. He brings God into the dock. He declares, number two, that God is not just in that he was behaving himself. He was in his rest, and yet things like this came upon him. In other words, I have not deserved that which I am receiving. And then third, he is not finding ways in his thinking to vindicate God for his providence. Rather, his thinking has led him to accusation against God. This is a very important principle, and I'd like to stop and just spend a minute on it. Whenever we are found in any kind of trial or strait or difficulty, or whenever we are tempted to sin, not only are we required to avoid that sin, but we are also required to surround ourselves with conditions or to pave the way for obedience. In other words, not only are we to flee from all sins, but the Scriptures tell us to flee from temptation. And so if we find ourselves tempted in a particular area, don't go there. Make provision against the flesh is the word of the apostle, you know, on that regard. And so Job here, what we see him doing is he is not fostering conditions where he might repent. He is rather fostering conditions where he might continue on in his sin. This is a difficulty. And brothers and sisters, this is a convicting word. And so what Job has done here is that he has made conditions ripe for his continuing on in complaint rather than making conditions ripe for his repentance. All right, so then let's make some use of this passage. First of all, note that in the midst of his distemper, that he acknowledges the Lord. He's not faithless. Although wrongly charging God, he yet acknowledges him. He is no unbeliever. Second, the Lord does not cast us out at the first hint of our doubting and faithlessness. Praise God. There are times in our lives when we are sore affected by things. I mean, I don't know if you were probably thinking what I was thinking while we were reading through this about hearing, you know, babies that never saw the light, and with recent events, it's very difficult. How do we respond? How do we react to such things? And let's just be honest. Sometimes our reactions, our responses are not what they should be. But God is gracious. That even when our reactions, our responses are not where they ought to be, God continues on in mercy and patience with His servant here. What Job does is worthy of being rubbed out by the Lord. What Job does is worthy of being crushed by the Lord. Who dares to bring God into the dock? So let us behold then the kindness of God, in that He does not treat with us according to our reactions to trial, according to our complaints. Another use, the best of men have their limits, and our strength soon gives way to grief and trouble when sorely tested. This is for the best of men. So then what of lesser men? Let us have grace then to endure our trials. Let's not forget in James chapter 5 that James holds Job out as a model of patience. A little surprising. Remember what James says? Ye have heard of the patience of Job. That's right. And so let us remember the great grief. I know it's easy for us, you know, some 2,000 or 4,000 years removed here, right? If Abraham was 2166 BC and Job lived around that time, and now here we are some, you know, 2,000 years later. So some 4,000 years ago, it's easy being removed by 4,000 years to look at Job and say, oh, look what he's doing wrong. But let us also remember that the scriptural writers look at what he was doing right. There is indeed patience here. Even though it is a sore trial, there is indeed some patience on the part of Job. Notice that Job never once moves to take his own life. And although he muses with such things, he never moves toward that. And we dare say that many who have been tried with lesser degrees of temptation than Job have indeed done so. There are many things that we can look upon here and say, yes, indeed, we agree with the Apostle James. We receive that apostolic teaching that Job is indeed a patient man. Observe as well that when we are in trials, this is not the best time to make decisions. That we are not necessarily in our right mind, and we need good counselors at such times. Observe also that it is never right to bring God into the dock, and Job will indeed be corrected for doing so later. Part of his training and chastisement is to drive these seeds of corruption from him. And finally, note that although this is a great evil from God, it is a great and difficult and hard trial from God, it is something less than his wrath. And this is an amazing point when you think about it. If this is what God does to his beloved servants, where will the end of the ungodly and righteous be when God stirs up his wrath against them? That's not where we want to be. This, as difficult and troublous as it is not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is infinitely worse than what we see here. All right, let's stand then and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.